Yeah, we're turning today to Mark chapter 7 for the last time. Mark chapter 7. We have been here for a little while. Mark has something of an expanded account here. There was one thing in particular of this event that really spoke to Mark's heart as the Spirit of God had him to single out one individual. Now, if you'll place your finger in Mark chapter 7, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 15. Because here, it is such a tiny, tiny, tiny little account of this same event. Matthew chapter 15. And we're reading there, verse 29. Matthew 15, 29. It's the same occasion, but viewed from two different viewpoints, Matthew and Mark. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. That's a good place to sit. You sit down on a mountain, you can see a long way. And a great multitude, and great multitudes, plural, came unto him, having with them those that were lame. Now mark these words. They were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Well, we're going to look at one of the others, because the other was death, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Now, the word cast is the normal word for cast. It is the Greek word balo. I like to remind people, what do you do with a ball? You balo it, you throw it. And so they didn't throw these people down. There are actually some times when this word means just to put or place. And some of these people's conditions, you wouldn't just throw them down. So they put them at Jesus' feet. And then verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered, they were amazed. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed, now mark that, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. So some of them may have been Gentiles. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 7 now, where we had our finger. And we're going way down the chapter to verse 31. Let us consider the word here now. Mark 7, 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast, or the borders of Decapolis, the 10 cities. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he, that is Jesus, took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now you say, why did they use that adjective in place of an adverb? Well, I would tell you, if you go to Great Britain today, they still do the same thing. I remember getting corrected in a preaching class for using one of our terms. I'm trying to remember what it was. And I was corrected because I used what the kind of English we'd speak here. And they said, no, it's not that way. Okay, so he spoke plainly. We would give it the adverbial use, but they just give it the adjective. He spake plain. Okay. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Amen. So concludes the 7th chapter of Mark. Such wonderful accounts of the miracles of Jesus. There will be more of those immediately after. The miracles of Jesus. How wonderful. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. For His name's sake, for His glory, and for our good. So I have a question for you. Does Christ ever make you say, wow? That's the name of the message. Does Christ ever make you say, wow? Well, I had to say, wow, right there in my study, as I was seeing things I'd never seen before. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus Christ was interested in the welfare of the multitudes. We read of His compassion upon the masses who were like sheep having no shepherd. And again, the Savior demonstrated His care for the thousands by taking little lunches and making feasts to feed the crowds of hungry thousands and thousands of people. So He was interested in the multitudes. He cared for them. But each of the four gospel historians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all give us accounts of several individuals that Christ singled out for His special attention. And what did He do for them? For He gave special attention to many individuals, casting out demons, healing their diseases, forgiving their sins, and even restoring dead people and returning them to their astonished families. Last Lord's Day, we noted that Christ had made a sudden journey of 50 miles specifically for helping a poor mother and her little afflicted daughter. That Gentile mother and her oppressed daughter. He went all that way. And He did not go there to minister to a crowd. One of the obvious facts that points to that is look at verse 31. And again, He departed. He didn't stay there to bless a crowd. He departed again. After helping this mother and her little daughter, He left. He made that 50-mile journey again, returning to the Sea of Galilee. Christ was very active, going about and doing good constantly. Matthew tells us that Christ, having returned to His native district, He sat down on a mountain, and great multitudes began coming to Him. Now let me point out three things about this. First of all, the crowd had good sense. The crowd had good sense. They brought those in need to Jesus, to His feet. So the crowd had good sense. The man that's referred to in this 7th chapter of Mark was lacking a sense. He was lacking the sense of hearing. And then the crowd was amazed beyond their senses. It's what it means literally. They were just blown away by Jesus healing all of these people of so many diverse problems and diseases. It was shocking to them to see. And the old preacher got shocked this week reading this. I mean, you can read the Scriptures and never see what the Scriptures are saying. So first of all, let us look at the crowd demonstrating their good sense. Verses 31 and 32. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him or beg him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. So there was a great multitude there. And they had brought these various people that were in such great need of his healing. And so the crowd demonstrated good sense in bringing them to Jesus. Now, they brought with them people of various kinds of problems, but Mark was really impressed by this one situation. A man that was deaf, and he also couldn't speak properly. Now, I ask at the outset this morning, does Christ ever make you say, wow? As I was studying the gospel histories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, my mouth was literally hanging open in that study the other day. I couldn't help myself. Over and over again, I could only say from the depth of my soul, wow, wow, wow. And I hope you can say that about Jesus at the end of this service this morning. Christ made people whole, like this poor man. But do you remember back in chapter 3 of this book of Mark, he made a handicapped man with a withered hand, he made that hand whole. Now, what does that mean? A withered hand. It was a hand that was dried up like skin over bones, just shrunken and useless. I had a dear uncle who's now with the Lord who had a deformed and useless arm and hand. He was born with that arm just tiny in comparison to the other arm and hand. And it was just kind of drawn up. And it was so useless, withered and shrunken. Well, that man that day in the synagogue with the shrunken, withered hand, Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. Of course, the wicked enemies were there just waiting to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath day. And he just said, stretch forth thine hand. And that man had never been able to stretch forth his hand. And he stretched forth that hand. And you would just think about that. That is awesome. That dried up, shrunken little hand all of a sudden received flesh, substance, strength, and life that it never had before. Isn't that overwhelming? And I just think about my uncle. If he had had ability, but I just think just to fill out and stretch forth. That's amazing. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ that did that was able to take these little lunches, a little bread, and a little fish, and cause that by miraculous power, that flesh of that fish, of those fish, and that bread to just keep growing and growing and growing. So that at the end of the meal, the people were all full. And there were baskets and baskets full of leftovers. Who made that? Jesus created it on the spot. Oh, how amazing that is. Now, I say that the people of that crowd that brought the poor, maimed, blind, lame, deaf people to Christ, the bringers of those people had good sense to bring them to Jesus because He is the right one to bring yourselves to. He is the right one to bring others to for healing and for salvation. So that's the first thought. The crowd demonstrated good sense. The people in bringing others to Him. But the man brought here in the end of this seventh chapter was lacking a sense. He had no sense of hearing at all. It must have contributed to his speech impediment. Just think if you could never hear yourself say a word, and you had never heard anyone say a word. Then your efforts to communicate would be slurred and inarticulate and thus could not be understood. He had never actually heard anyone speak, and so there was no way for him to correct or improve his speech. He couldn't do it. So Jesus, very politely, took the poor man aside, away from the multitude, privately. Why did he do that? We don't know for sure. But I think, you know, problem with handicapped people, they get laughed at. Handicapped people become the butt of jokes. And people point to them and they make all kinds of gestures cruelly. And so this poor man was taken aside privately. And Christ simply placed his fingers into the man's deaf ears. And then probably Christ spit on his finger and he touched it to the man's tongue. Then looking up to his heavenly Father, he spoke that Aramaic word, "Be opened." And immediately this formerly deaf man could hear. And his tongue was loosed. And he could speak. He could speak plainly. Surely this miracle impressed those who had brought the deaf man, as well as impressing the deaf man himself. But the other miracles that were so outwardly obvious. Lame people walking. Wow. Lame people walking. Jacob can appreciate that, because he got so much pain in his leg, he couldn't really walk. He was feeling, "I can't walk. It hurts too bad to walk." For lame people to walk, for blind people to see. And look, maimed people, you know what that means? Maimed people no longer missing a body part. So thirdly and finally, these miracles were so astounding that the crowd of people were amazed beyond their senses. Oh, superabundantly, beyond their ability to take it in. Look at verse 36. "And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it." They couldn't help themselves because verse 37, "And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." And all of these other things. Even though the great miracle worker had charged them not to tell, they published the news of the miracles so much the more a great deal and were beyond measure astonished, literally beyond their senses, amazed. Why? Why were they beyond their senses amazed? All of the healings of every kind just transported the onlookers into a state of ecstasy, looking at this all together. And I want you to think about that. The maimed. Matthew 15:30 speaks of the maimed, the lame, and the maimed. The dictionary meaning of maimed. What is it? It is missing a body part. Well, since Christ could immediately restore to normal, a withered hand could fill it with flesh, with strength, with life, and with substance. Couldn't He take care of maimed people? Since the same Jesus could take a tiny lunch and fill thousands of people and then have large baskets of leftovers, could not He, as He literally created bread and fish on the part, right on the spot, could He not also cause a finger to be there where there was only a nub? Since Mark chapter 9, verse 45, are the words of Jesus, He said, it's better to be halt, that is 1 foot cut off, rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. This is exactly the same Greek words for halt. 1 foot missing or cut off. The same word is translated maimed in Matthew 15:30. This is one of these miracles that absolutely astonishes me beyond my senses. A maimed person brought to Jesus, missing something, a foot, a hand, or something, then after the miracle, going home completely whole. Wow. I have to say with them, He hath done all things well. Oh, the lessons that arise from this miracle. For every believer, we see that our Savior and Lord has such awesome power. He, as our mediator, has all fullness of power to bless us and power to meet our every need. We see how eagerly and how willingly He traveled great distances in order to help needy people. Thus, how eagerly and willingly He hears our cries. He very eagerly and willingly hears our cries for help. And He hears them even this very day. There is no ailment that we have that He cannot cure. There is no spiritual need that we have that He cannot meet. He can give us victory over lust. He can revive our cold and fainting love. He can cure our unbelief. No matter what the future holds, we know that the Almighty Christ holds us. He doeth all things well. Whatever He gives and whatever He takes away is for our good. The great shepherd uses every circumstance for our progress in carrying His sheep safely to joy and to everlasting glory. Believer, it was Dr. Martin Luther who said, Christ can cure a wayward tongue. This man had a problem with his tongue. Luther said of this text that Christ can cure a wayward tongue because a wayward tongue is the most deadly evil of all. And Christ can cure a wayward tongue. So for believers, everything that we need is available in Christ. For those of you who are not yet safely anchored in Christ today, let me do as those friends and family members did that day. Let me place you at Christ's feet by prayer. May the Lord bless you as I speak to you. And may Christ be set before you, before your mind, by words of His gospel now. You know, if you're not safely anchored in Christ today, do you realize that by nature we are all just like this poor deaf man? The best sermons cannot stir you, nor can the most eloquent words change you. The most solemn warnings that I give to you can instill no fear in your heart. You are living as though you had never heard of hell. You had never heard of the divine judgment. I say it is impossible for a mere man to make you hear this urgent message, because every lost sinner like you is spiritually deaf and spiritually dead. But Christ has the most awesome power. That's why I can in confidence speak to you today. He is able to open your ears. He can make you willing to hear His voice. He can cause you to come to Him by faith today. He can put a new song in your mouth. He can cause you to love Him. He can cause you to love His gospel that really you didn't have any great desire for at any time before. It really hasn't been very important to you before. But He can make you love that. May Christ, by His Holy Spirit, open your ears to hear and to heed His gospel at this very moment today, for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. Oh God, we turn to Thee, and we are so amazed, oh Lord. Lord, we did not see all of that take place. But the very fact that those people were beyond their senses amazed. It was so great. It was so marvelous what Thou didst do for all of those people with so many different problems. So Lord, You see us today right where we are. And Lord, we are glad that You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know what our intentions are for the next moment, even when the service is over. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take a dealing with the hearts of Thy people. Oh Lord, we pray for deliverance from unbelief. We pray, oh Lord, for a conquering of the tongue. We pray, oh Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy people with a renewed love and zeal for Thee, to love Thee as Thou lovest us. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to those who have no safety today. They are not anchored fast in Christ. Oh Lord, cause them. Oh Lord, we lay them at Thy feet in prayer. And we pray, oh Lord, that Thou wilt give them a heart to come to Thee. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.